Good morning, Community Church. I'm so happy to be with you this morning. And guests, if you are joining us this morning, I want to say welcome, and I'm so happy that you could join us. As Pastor Wade said just now, today we have something very special for you. It's a slightly different format because it's the last Sunday of 2020 and we want to give you something special. And I'm so happy to have Marilee here to co-host this Sunday with me.
I am happy to be here too, and I'm happy for all of you to be joining us online. We're thrilled.
Yeah, you know, it's been barely a week, right, since we last saw each other, but just wondering, how are you doing, Marilee, and how was Christmas?
I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year.
Well, tell us why. Why is Christmas your favorite time of the year, and what's something that's been, like, maybe special or meaningful this Christmas? Church, we want to do this together, okay? Share with us in the chat box something that's been special or meaningful to you this Christmas.
Yeah, and so while you're doing that, I'll go ahead and share why I love Christmas. I mean, I love it every year. If I'm in Canada or the States, it's getting cold usually, and I love the change of seasons. That's fabulous. But then this year is especially special because it's our last Christmas in Hong Kong. So I've just been, like, soaking up the Hong Kong at Christmas, you know, like the way the city just decorates everything. You know, we went and saw different malls and how they've decorated as a family together. So just enjoying, you know, my little family of five and our time together.
Yeah.
It's been special.
It's quite amazing, right? All the lights and all the decorations.
Yeah. What about you, though?
Yeah. Well, for me, I mean, I'm here and not being able to, I mean, just can't go anywhere, right? And so what have I been doing? I've been Zooming. I've been Zooming yeah. with friends and family members. And, you know, I'm getting pretty good with Zoom. You know, who would have thought a year ago that this is what we were doing, right? I haven't even heard of the name Zoom before. But now I'm Zooming. And you know what, church? I had a very special Christmas party. So Mona and Tina organized a very special Christmas party for us for the Tuesday Life group. And one of the things that we had to do, or we got to do, to play Christmas charade. Anyway, it was my turn. I was given this thing to act out. I don't know if there's a term for it, but that thing that you have to act.
Yeah, the charades, yeah.
The charade.
No words, just acting.
Right. So, and it was, Santa Claus is going down the chimney. And so, okay, So I was sitting in my room and I was looking around and I saw this prop, right? And you can see a picture here, okay? It should be on your screen. So you can see the lampshade. And I was thinking, wow, this is a great, great chimney. And so I stepped onto the ledge and I tried to, I pretended to try to climb into that chimney. And wow, all the time trying to make sure that I fit within that computer
screen.
Right. And I was thinking, really, Brenda? And so, but that was very memorable.
Okay,
you know?
Well, two things. First of all, I don't think that picture online that everyone just saw is going to quite do it. Why don't you go ahead and show us now?
Okay, let's do it.
I'm just kidding. But no, I share your feeling. I remember my first staff meeting on staff.
Right.
I was like in Canada and you guys were all here. And Grace
I remember
was doing
that.
Devotional and I'm like dancing in my dad's office in front of the computer screen, and I think my parents thought I was crazy. So yeah, Zoom in all its glory is
right. But you had fun, didn't you?
Yes, it was beautiful.
And we were so jealous, you know, when you showed us all your beautiful scenery
yes.
in Canada,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh wait, I forgot something. So I got so carried away, right, with Santa Claus is going down the chimney. I forgot to mention this. One thing I really love, Marilee, about Christmas this year. Mm. Guess what?
What?
It's the Christmas Shine Special.
Yes.
Come and see.
Yes.
Everything about it was just beautiful. I love the acting. I love the children and the big kids. the singing and just the creativity and the costumes and just the amazing story of Jesus told from the very beginning.
Mm.
I love that. Just wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was absolutely one of the highlights of my year for sure. So if you haven't seen it, you can go ahead and make sure that you see it. It's still available. You can see online the way to get to that. So, yeah, go ahead and do that. But, Brent, I'm curious. Was there a part that especially stuck out to you? I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, but what, like?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There was this particular scene that really, really, that was poignant for me. Hmm. Let's see what it is.
Yep, all the goodness of God flowed into creation, and that includes us, people. God created us in his own image. That means we were created to represent him. We were made to rule and run things with him.
Really? Humans represent the image of God? That sounds hard to believe. I mean, there's a lot of awful things in the world. I can see some of the goodness of God in creation that you're talking about, but really, there's just still a lot of evil.
Interesting. So you liked that scene even more than Batman? I mean, Batman, no, I'm just kidding. Why specifically this part?
Well, first of all, I love Batman. I love the unicorn. I love all the animals. And the cycle of apostrophe. What is that?
You have to watch, come and see if you want to know what the cycle of apostrophe / apostasy really is.
Right. And so, you know, so I was thinking, Church, primarily, I think we've had quite a year, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
That we've had quite a year, right? I mean, so many things happened, so many major events and milestones. We began the year with protests on the streets, and it's also the year where George Floyd was killed, and, you know, and the things that, right.
Right, it's the year, the national security law in Hong Kong. I mean, that was a big deal, and then the American election that kind of really influences so much of what happens between different countries and everything like that. I mean,
right. So many things. And of course, it's the year of COVID-19.
Yeah, I can't.
Right. I mean, right. And enough said. No, I mean, just so many things. The huge impact of COVID-19, you know, on the economy and on people's health, people losing their jobs, you know, people not being able to travel, not being able to see families. Mm. There's just so much.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's kind of, we've experienced so many emotions this year. It's been ups and downs, and there's been some moments, I'm sure, for people of joy and happiness, but so many of, you know, angst or anxiety or frustration or not knowing, and I think we end up kind of just feeling confused.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I think I like the word confused because it's, I think when we feel like, you know, we have lost a sense of control, you know, of things, we're confused, right? Because there's no more framework to tell us, to affirm us of where we are at and what's going to happen, where we're going to go. So I think, yeah, definitely, I think people experience confusion in more ways than one. And, you know, I think also because people are confused, people are starting to ask important questions. So I've been having many conversations with people, and this one keeps coming up. What's the meaning of life? You know?
Yeah, and you're right. Like, I think when people ask that question, then they start to answer it themselves, like try to find the answer. So, and they do it through a variety of means. You know, sometimes people like buy out a bunch of self-help books, or like they just want to ignore the question, or so they go to like fill themselves up with extra Netflix, extra Twitter, more news, more Facebook, more social media, whatever.
Right. No, absolutely. And this is not to say that those things don't serve a good purpose. You know what I mean? I would like to think that Netflix serves a good purpose.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
You know, but, you know, I think that when we lose a sense of where we are or that we lose a sense of our orientation, then we are listening to, like, many, many voices around us. Mm. And they are telling us what to think about ourselves. They're telling us who we are, how to act, how to feel, you know. And I think it's easy to forget our core identity.
For sure. Like it's easy. We get caught up in those tides of cultures that are, you know, telling us who we are and all that stuff. And so then we forget. And it's a battle that we have to remember who and whose we are.
Whose we are. I love that. Whose we are. Whose are you? You know, so we're thinking, what better way to end 2020 and to look forward to 2021 than to remind ourselves of who we are and whose we are and how we are called to live. Mm-hmm. So Marilyn and I are going to have a conversation today about our being made in the image of God and what that means and how we see that working out in our day-to-day life. And you are going to get a chance to share with us what it might mean for you personally and also what it might mean for us as a church to reflect God's image as we look forward to 2021. Marilee, anything else you want to add? Oh, and pray for us.
Oh, yeah, I'd be happy to pray. And I think I'll just say I'm glad that we're doing this format. You know, we're kind of in that period between Christmas and New Year's where, I don't know about you, but like you don't lose track of the day. Although I do know that today is Sunday. But it's kind of a fun format. And I know for me, I learn from like talking through things. And I also learn from listening to other people talk about things. So hopefully this will be a fun format for all of us just to hear God's word in a little bit different way, kind of relaxed. And But let's go ahead and pray then for sure.
Okay.
God, I thank you that we can come together and hear who we are and what it is like to be made in your image. And I just pray that as Brenda and I talk and our church listens to us, hopefully engages with us mentally, but also that you would be here working in our hearts and our minds and that we would be changed as a result of these conversations, and they wouldn't just be an academic exercise, but it would be something that really impacts us and influences how we see ourselves and how we operate in this world. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. And we pray this in your name.
Amen.
Amen. So, Brenda, I have to say, I think it's interesting that when you watched Come and See, and we talked about this afterwards, and you had said that that clip, that you kind of were struck by that image of God. And full disclosure, I was like, really? Because when I watched it back all put together for the first time, when I saw it, it was that exact clip when Charlotte said, you know, we represent God. I think something like that. You saw the clip earlier. You would know exactly. But that word represent, I was like, wait a second. Is that the right word? Did I choose the right word? Did I just write something totally wrong that doesn't actually have any theological truth to it? And so when you came and said that, you know, you liked that, we represent God, we're made in the image of God, I was like, oh, wow, these are big ideas. And I totally don't fully understand them yet, for sure.
Oh, Marilee, too late to wonder about that. You know, Come and See is done.
I know.
Just kidding. You know, you're not alone. I wish, seriously, I could tell you that I've got everything down. You know, I totally got it.
You're the pastor. You have to.
Yeah, I wish, right? But I think, you know what, we are all on a journey of learning, of exploring, and of asking questions. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We are not the only ones to struggle with this concept. Mm-hmm. People throughout the ages have wrestled with exactly how we image God. What does it mean? Is it our brains? Is it our emotions? Is it our physical traits? And so on and so forth. So even when people say we represent God, they don't always mean exactly the same thing. But generally speaking, as God's image bearers, yes, I think we are his representatives.
We are his representatives. Okay, you're going to need to talk a little bit more about that.
Okay, so I think what might help us is to go back. Okay, so the title, The Image of God, I think that title is kind of like an abstract concept to us these days. Like, you know, living in the 21st century, like we don't talk about the image of God, right? But in the ancient world, it was a known concept. It was a known word, not even a concept. You know, so in the ancient Near East, the image of God title was used in two instances, okay? First, it was used for kings. So, for example, in Egyptian times, pharaohs were seen as the image of the gods and seen to be ruling on behalf of the gods.
Okay,
does
I've
that
heard
make
that.
Sense?
Yeah. I've heard that. Like the pharaoh was the divine.
Right, the
chosen.
Sun god.
He actually was God, right? Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Absolutely. And the second instance has to do with idols in the temple. So idols were seen as the very image of God, and people expect to experience the power and the presence of God through these idols. Does that make sense? So you can see how kings and idols represent the gods in, you know, in those ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like ruling on behalf of,
right,
like the
right,
embodiment
right.
of
right.
the power and the presence of the gods.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense. That's an interesting.
Right, right. And so against that background, Genesis 1 is saying that we are all made in God's image, and it's such a bold claim. Can you imagine what kind of impact it made in the ancient world?
Yeah, I like that. First of all, I like that you're going back to how the people first reading these stories would have heard them, you know, like what it was like in the ancient world to hear that image of God. And that it's not just kings and idols. There's not like this hierarchical structure.
Right.
That it's not just kings that are the image bearers of God. It's all of us. It's everyone. It's you. It's me made in the image of God. It's
right.
Not just those special kings.
No, absolutely. And I think in the ancient world, hierarchy was such a huge thing, a big thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think to say that everyone is made in the image of God, it's like there's a democratizing, you know, of the idea. Does that make sense?
It's an equalizing.
It's bringing
up others to the worth of these kings or whatever. You know, we all have that image of God stamped and on us.
Right, right. Mm. And I wonder, Marilee, do you think that in today's world, that's still something that can shock people?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. Well, I think it's probably still a little bit of a foreign concept. And I think we need to recognize now that it's not just as we're made in his image, that means we embody him. We embody his character, right?
Right, right. So I think it's like this, right? So people look at us and they go, ah, that's what God is like.
Right.
Right. So you see, church, we are God's idols. Mm-hmm. Think about that. We are God's idols. He doesn't need anyone to build him idols to represent him. He has us. We are supposed to represent him. And did you know that the word idol and the word image come from the same Hebrew word?
I did not know that.
Isn't it interesting? Think about that. Hmm. Yeah. And here's something else. Here's something really interesting. So when people in the ancient world built a new temple, so, you know, you got all the structure ready and, you know, maybe all the internal, I don't know what you might call it, but maybe decorations and props. And the last thing to be brought into the temple is actually the idol or the image. And what would happen is they would conduct, or the priest would conduct a breathing ceremony, like breathing ceremony over the idol, such that God's presence would then become vested in the idol.
Wait. No, okay. That is so cool. Not that people were worshiping idols, but wow, the contrast. So you have this ancient practice or whatever of breathing life into the idols. But when you read our creation narrative, the story from creation that we have in our Bible, it's the complete opposite. God flips it and he says, no. You don't breathe into me. I breathe my breath into you. That word ruach, the spirit of God, instead of the spirit they're breathing into the idol, God is breathing that spirit into us. Oh my gosh,
isn't it wonderful?
It's so
and okay, you said spirit, so I said breathing ceremony, but I think the technical term for it is spiration ceremony. So spirit, spiration. So it's a ceremony whereby you know, it's believed that the spirit of the God got breathed into the idol.
And instead, Genesis tells us that God's spirit breathed into us and gave us life, and we are stamped with that image. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
But there's a problem. That's
what?
Not often what we see, Brenda, right? I mean, so we're supposed to embody God's, and I think we touched on this in Come and See, right? Like, we don't see that. We don't go, that's what God is like. No, we see girls being trafficked and guys for nefarious purposes. We see the poor being exploited for our comfort and gain. We see pornography just taking over kids and adults and how we interact and relate with each other. We see racism just rampant and systemic and personal. I mean, it's a mess.
It's a mess. And I think it's heartbreaking.
Yes.
It's totally heartbreaking.
Yes.
Like Charlotte says in the video that we just saw, humans represent the image of God? I find it hard to believe. There's a lot that happens in this world that is awful. Church and guests with us, do you feel the same way sometimes? That it's hard to believe that humans represent the image of God.
It could definitely be disheartening.
Right? Yeah. You see, so, I mean, what happened? So when humans decide to say, I want to be independent from you, God, that happened in, you can read about that in Genesis 3, we are effectively saying, ah, I know best. I can tell good from evil without God. Who needs God? And so what happened after that? What happened after that is this. The image of God in us was broken or distorted. So instead of reflecting God's character, we begin to look like the idols we worship. Mm. You know, and then that means that we act out of that. We begin to destroy and we abuse and we lie, we cheat, we oppress, we hurt, and we manipulate. Oh boy. Human beings are so good at manipulation. We manipulate for self-gain and we lust after power and so on and so forth. And so human beings, you know, then we cease to reflect God the way we were meant to.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like Charlotte in that video, like when she was like, la, 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 I don't want to hear anymore. So it's disheartening. But I will say, it's a good thing that it's Christmas time, which focuses our attention on Jesus' arrival. So how does he change? I mean, we talked about that. Jesus is the rescuer, whatever, but how does he change that distorted, that image-bearing capacity that was distorted, that image of God that's distorted in us when we try to start to look like those idols? How does Jesus change that?
First of all, I'll say, yes, Christmas! Christmas is not over, is it? No, Christmas is wonderful. Christmas is about Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's a celebration of the arrival of a king who would come and make everything right again. Micah, if you're listening, that was what you said, right? In Come and See?
Yeah? Micah remembered all his lines. I'm sure he totally remembered.
So the God who created us refused to let us go on destroying ourselves and destroying one another, destroying the world. And he refused to let us continue to bear his image in a distorted way. And so God himself came in the person of Jesus Christ to make things right and to restore his image bearers. How? Well, first of all, he showed us what it's like to be a true human image bearer. So he did what Adam failed to do. He showed us what it's like to truly reign and rule that brings life, in a way that brings life. So it's about serving others, and it's about being life-giving to others. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so, but does that mean that, you know, we've talked about the Spirit breathing life into us and making us that image of God, and yes, it's distorted, but does that mean that until you know, come to know Jesus, you just don't have that image-bearing capacity at all?
So I think we do. We still bear God's image, but distorted. Mm. And so it's like, you know, after Genesis 3, after humans rebel against God, somewhere in Genesis 9, God's like, well, you cannot kill people because people are made in my image. Mm. Does that
That's
help?
Encouraging too, because even with all the evil that we've kind of mentioned, right, there are still people who don't know Christ that do good things. And I think that probably stems from that image-bearing capacity. That it's still there. It's just distorted or not
right,
perfect,
right,
which is what happens from Jesus's.
Right. And I think, but I think that also makes us realize how important Jesus really is. Mm. See, so Jesus didn't just come and say, okay, let me show you what it's like to be a true human being, a true image-bearer. Okay, watch me, follow my example, and you know what to do. I'm going to take off now. Bye. So ultimately, we all need Jesus deeply in our lives. We need to encounter Jesus in a different way. Because you know why? Because it's not like if we try hard enough, we can be that perfect image bearer. We can't. Mm. And so Jesus didn't come just only or just come to show us what a true human image bearer was like. He came and he went to the cross for us.
Mm. So no, go ahead, you go.
Right, so he died for us. He defeated evil. And so then his death and resurrection overcame the sin and death and the curse under Adam. Mm. And then that made it possible for us here to be set free from being enslaved to idols in our lives.
Mm. That's beautiful. I mean, he takes that image, he shows us and restores us. He does both.
Right.
His life.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. I love it.
He has given. Sorry, did I interrupt you?
No. You're
okay,
good.
Right. So then, right, he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to be different and to live differently mm-hmm. and to reflect God's glory mm-hmm. and his character into the world, mm-hmm. something that we can't do on mm-hmm. our own.
Yeah, and it goes beyond just us as individuals, right? So you have Brenda, who is an image bearer. You have Marilee, who is an image bearer. You have each of you, who is the image bearer and have this ability to live that way. But it also includes the body of Christ, the church. We also are called to bear his image, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The physical body of Jesus here on earth is the church. We bear that image as well. So it's communal as well as individual. We can't forget that communal piece.
No, I love that, Marilee. I think that's a great point. See, I feel like, you know, we live in a world where it's becoming increasingly individualistic, right?
Yeah.
And even when we talk about our faith, a Christian faith, you know, we like to think of it as, oh, this is just between me and God, mm. right? And I feel like it's important to remind ourselves of the communal aspect, you know, of Christian faith and of what it means to bear Christ to the world,
mm-hmm.
right?
And
I also feel like that it is in relationships, it's in how we treat people, right? Mm. That people get to see what God is like.
Yeah. No. This is good. So I was listening the other day to a podcast, and I got so excited because we had been talking about this image
right.
of God thing. And the Holy Post podcast, if you haven't listened, I think you maybe have listened to it. If you haven't listened to it, oh my gosh, my favorite
I listened
podcast.
To your other one, but
okay.
yes.
So they were interviewing a guy named David Fitch, and he was talking about like power structures and critical race theory mm-hmm. and critical theory and all this stuff. But he brought up this point that I was like, oh my gosh, he was talking about the triune God and the Father, Son, and Spirit and the relationship that exists between them. So bear with me a minute because this is so cool. I'm also still working it out in my mind. I don't quite have it mm-hmm. figured out. But you have this eternal, communal, loving relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit, and they're one, but yet they're, you know, right. separate. We don't understand it all. It's a Trinity, but they have this relationship, and so having been made in his image, we also have that part of the image of God, and we are called to reflect this kind of love that exists between the Father, Son, and Spirit, and that should show itself in our relationships as we bear his image, right? And I don't know still how it relates to power structures. I don't need to listen to the podcast again, but it did strike me as the image bearer. I model those same relationships mm-hmm. with the church, with my brothers and sisters in Christ,
mm-hmm, absolutely.
With those around
right,
me.
Right.
Yeah.
No, for sure. And I think it's actually very important for us to continue to reflect on that, you know, and what might that look like for us? To do that in our everyday life, what might it look like for you to do that in your everyday life? And I'm wondering, Marilee, could you share with us one example from your life?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you should let me know when you figure it out. No, you know, I have been thinking about this. Like, what would an example be? And I remember when we first came here mm-hmm. to, and this illustrates kind of two parts of that image of God. It's gonna illustrate. Well, let me just go with it. So when we first came here to Hong Kong, you know, we were looking mm-hmm, for a church. Mm-hmm. And honestly,
you can be honest.
Time,
no judgment.
I didn't want to come to community church. I didn't. After our first couple visits, I was like, I don't know. But our kids loved it. They were like, oh, my gosh, we need to go to this church.
Yeah.
And so after not immediately. But after maybe a month or so, we listened to them. And I feel like that kind of illustrates both. It illustrates first the individual bearing, image bearing capacity that children, we are all equal.
I love
you know,
that.
Like we were equal
right.
on the same. My kids are made in the image of God, and they are capable of bearing him in his
Absolutely.
Image, hearing
right.
his word, demonstrating him, and they have worth, and I need to listen to them. And then on the other side of that, too, in that loving mm-hmm. relationship that exists between, you know, my husband and my kids and myself, to hear what they have to say and to listen. And then I'm so glad that we listen to them because we're here. I mean, I love community church, and I love I'm on staff.
We love that you're here.
We love that you're here. I love it. So, yeah.
We're thankful for your kids.
So, I mean, that's just one small example, but like a practical everyday working out of that, mm-hmm. of that relationship and that love.
Right. No, and I think that's crucial, you know, and I love what you said about children, mm-hmm. right, reflecting the image of God.
Yeah.
And sometimes we forget that. We think, oh, when you turn 18, then yeah. you can start the process, right?
Well, but as the children's director here, no, I disagree with that. But, you know, I would love to hear, you know, I
right.
shared one little example. You guys on the other side of the screen, I would love to hear what you guys have to say about that. So, you know, what are some practical ways, or what are some ways that you see that image bearing capacity play out, that stamp of God's image being breathed into us? What are some ways? Go ahead and type them in the chat box. Read each other, see what everyone's thinking, so that this conversation is
right.
more than just two-way or like against the screen, and interact with one another, because we'd love to hear.
Oh, no, that's great. And while you're doing that, while you're typing, I would like to share with you what it means for me personally.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, but before we do that, if you don't already have your communion elements with you, please grab them now, because we'll be sharing our family meal right after our time of reflection and sharing.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay, so let me think. Okay, so I think for me, first of all, it means that knowing that I'm made in God's image means that knowing that I'm enough, that I have worth, that I'm not an accident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about you, Church or Mary, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but I have moments and seasons in my life where I could feel inadequate, you know, like, it's like somehow I don't matter, you know. So I think being reminded that, you know, I'm made in God's image, you know, it helps me to know that I'm valued.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we all have those moments that we don't feel good enough, or that we don't feel that we have worth, but if we can just grasp hold
mm-hmm.
of that,
right.
that in and of itself, that you are made in the image of God. Oh my gosh, like, wow, that in and of itself gives me worth. I can stand up and say, I
Absolutely.
Am made in the image of God. I am a daughter of God. I bear his image. Oh my gosh.
And that because we are God's image bearers, we have a very, very high calling, a noble vocation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Church, I used to say this when I made a mistake. Okay, I would go like this. Oh, I'm only human. But you know what? I have actually stopped saying that, because to say that is to diminish the glorious vision of what a human being is created to be. Jesus showed us how glorious that, you know, a human being can be.
And I like that you brought up Jesus there. Like, he does show us, very practically speaking,
mm-hmm.
how to live out that image.
Right.
I mean, you touched on that earlier, but like, just dive into that a little bit more. The fact that he's kind, the fact that he
yes.
takes women in that time that were pushed down so much and elevates them.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he, you know, the compassion that he shares for those who are sick, and
right.
you know, that is all something that we can do, and that is a way that for me the image of God is practically lived out.
Right, right, like the character of God, right, mm-hmm. being reflected
mm-hmm.
back into
yeah.
society and
mm-hmm.
into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it also makes me think, Marilee, so if I think that I'm enough, that I have worth, that I, Brenda, have worth, that I'm to be treated with respect and dignity,
mm-hmm.
I think I need to treat other people, other image bearers, the same way, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they have worth too. And like what you were saying, right, you treat people with kindness and with
mm-hmm.
compassion, and they deserve to be treated that way.
Mm-hmm. No matter where you are.
Exactly.
Sorry.
No matter. No, go ahead. And no matter what the color of their skin is.
Yes, no matter their socioeconomic status, no matter their current situations, no
or their political allegiance.
Or no matter the sin that they might be involved in.
Absolutely.
Right?
No, absolutely. And I think, just seeing people in general, just seeing every human being as God's image bearer also means that we don't objectify them. Mm-hmm. It means that I don't use people, right? Because it's easy to use people, don't you think, Marilee?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to see people in terms of what they can do for me. Their job means that they serve me this way, and that's how I define them, right? But I think for me, it means that I practice, okay? It doesn't come naturally, I have to say, but you practice, right? Mm. So I practice seeing the image of God in the people that I encounter every day from the moment I step out of my home. You know, the concierge at the lobby, the people in the MTR, the people behind the counter, Eric Kaiser, when I get my morning coffee, the people I work with here at Community Church. And I ask myself the question always, right, when I encounter people, how can I bring life to them or be life-giving to them?
Right. Another thing that I think about or pray is, God, help me to see this person the way that you see them.
Right.
Especially if I'm frustrated with somebody or I'm annoyed.
Right.
Especially if it's a fellow believer, you know, somebody who's walking with Jesus and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're driving me crazy. How could they act that way? And just be like, okay, wait, God, give me your eyes, because I know you love them just as much as you love me, and I know they have your image on them as much as I do.
Right, right. Yeah. No, it's an ongoing practice, right, for us. And I just want to say one last thing. I think it's also important that people don't become a statistic.
A statistic.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I think with COVID-19, what I've noticed is that after a while, you know, you just look at the numbers and you don't think of the numbers as people. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a somewhat a defense mechanism, right, to get away from the news. But if we can really, you know, again, see them with God's heart and with God's eyes and as a person.
No, I think, thank you, Marilee. I think this has been great. I love doing this with
you.
Yeah,
me too.
I hope you have really enjoyed this conversation, and I hope you have learned something. Is there anything you want to say before we go on to communion?
No, I mean, I'm just glad to be here and glad to have this conversation with you.